It's pretty easy to tune out reports of civil disturbance and general brouhaha in Lebanon. There are two reasons for this. One is more or less eternal. This is that Lebanon, while a charming country in many respects, is chronically dysfunctional, with the result that demonstrations and even more violent tumults are pretty common. The patronage-prone setup of Lebanon's government, designed to prevent a recurrence of the civil war which devastated the country between 1975 and 1990, also prevents much getting done, and that is before one stirs in such extra factors as the state within a state of Hezbollah and neighbouring Syria following a long occupation of Lebanon by collapsing into a civil war of its own. The other more current reason for overlooking the ongoing upheaval in Lebanon is the equally picturesque turbulence presently or recently occurring in a number of other datelines. Hong Kong, Quito, Cairo, Barcelona, La Paz, Santiago, to say nothing of the immense throng of relatively orderly marches against Brexit in London this past weekend.
Bollocks to Brexit!
And the climate protesters who have seized streets around the planet. But even measured against Lebanon's unhappy past and the world's unhappy present, these Lebanese protests seem significant. Given the role played by social media in catalysing and organising modern rebellions, there seems something apposite about what appears to have been the cause of Lebanon's current protests. The government had proposed a daily charge of roughly 20 US cents on voice calls made via WhatsApp, FaceTime and similar portals. There is, arguably, a conversation to be had around such a levy. The general discourse would be improved greatly if every illiterate troglodyte seeking to post comments on YouTube was deterred by a charge of $20 a go. In Lebanon, however, this relatively trivial tax proved the crucial slender straw wafting atop the colossal burden toted by the hitherto stoic camel of Lebanon's collective patience. The crowds which have poured into the streets and squares of Beirut and other Lebanese cities have been estimated in the hundreds of thousands, which in a country of barely 6 million is proportionately a colossal expression of discontent. As for what Lebanon's rebels are now rebelling against, it's not so much a case of what have you got as where do you start. Lebanon's economy is becalmed, possibly sinking.
I came back because I want to live here in my country. I don't want to live outside my country. I want to live inside my country. I want to live like any normal citizen. I want to have a job. I want to have a career. I want to live here happily.
It has long since crossed that line from being a country with a corrupted system to being a country where the system is corruption. Stuff does not, in general, work. Lebanon's government, such as it is, has attempted to address some of the complaints. On Monday, Prime Minister Saad Hariri offered to halve the salaries of politicians, abolish some unpopular state institutions, including the Ministry of Information, set up an anti-corruption invigilator, and maybe try taxing the people who actually have any money. So far, this outreach has not persuaded anyone much to go home, so far as the protesters can be said to have a single coherent desire, it is that Lebanon's government resign. Encouragingly for the protesters and their sympathisers, but worryingly for Lebanon's on-clinging government, there is little sign as yet of those on the streets splitting along the sectarian fault lines which usually bedevil Lebanese politics. The next few days will be instructive. If the protesters' present determination is worn down by fatalism, resignation, or the weather, these demonstrations may be recalled as just another episode in Lebanon's rich pageant of uproar, akin to the 2015 protests against the chronic non-collection of garbage. But if today's protesters hold their nerve and the streets, at some point they're going to have to propose some alternatives. The recent history of large-scale protests does suggest the potentially helpful examples of Sudan and Algeria. In neither place has it been easy, but in both places some progress is being made. The real advantage that Lebanon's protesters have is that given the long-running misrule of their country, it shouldn't be too hard to come up with some better ideas. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.